But God's at work in many places, in many ways, and we're seeing people grow and come to faith. And that's what it's all about. So we praise the Lord for that ministry there. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles to Hebrews, the 13th chapter. Hebrews, the 13th chapter. I'd like to read verse 4. We've been looking at family matters. We've talked about a couple things about parenting. 3 weeks ago, we looked at that and, you know, striving to do what we need to do to bring and to raise up these young ones and those that God has entrusted us with a knowledge of Him. Last week, we looked at life issues, and later today, if you have an opportunity, would like you to join us. Quarter after one, I think I said Shopko last week, but it is behind the Super One. It's in the Super One parking lot. That's where we'll meet, but would like for you to come with us. Today we're talking about marriage, and this scripture talks about it. The scripture really has a lot to say about it from Genesis right on through. I'm going to kind of focus my attention right here this morning, Hebrews 13, 4. Marriage is to be held in honor among all, and the marriage bed is to be undefiled. For fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. Loving Father, I would pray that you would minister to our hearts and in the ways that only you can do. We thank you for your work that's abroad. We've heard of some of that. But Father, there are many that have gone out from this place that are making a difference where you have planted them. Various ministries, various families, individuals, those in training, all of those, Father, we lift them before you. And we present ourselves to you right now. And I pray that the distractions of the day, perhaps what's next or what has just previously happened, would be set aside that we might look and gaze into your face. I pray that you would minister through your Spirit, through your Word, as only you can. And we need that. We're desperate for that. I thank you for the families that are here. I thank you for each one that have come. And Father, I pray that you would meet them where they're at. I pray you'd challenge them, grow them. Help us, Father, to have an understanding, as you do, of what marriage is. Thank you for this sacred institution, that before anything else, before human government, before the church, there was the family, marriage. Thank you that you have defined it, and I pray that we'll grow in our understanding of it and in our love for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Christian families have had and continue to have a direct impact on our community and on this nation. Marriages are the foundation and cornerstone of society. You know, and whether our society values marriage or understands blessings that the Christian marriages and families have had on this country, the fact remains our culture has been the beneficiary of marriages in this nation. We'd be significantly and drastically different were it not for the Christians who love it and desire to see God's hand and blessing on it. We would be a very different nation. However, the battle's there, right? The devil has his sights on our families and our marriages. We're in a spiritual battle, a great spiritual battle for the glory of the Lord. It's being played out in every area that we live in. There is a disregard for marriage these days to the degree that has never been experienced or seen in this country. Now, the attitudes are not what they ought to be, even, by the way, even among God's people for this most sacred institution. You know, what the world thinks and what they stick with, what they believe, has a way of impacting us. That's why I want us to look at the scripture for a bit today. You know, too often the lies of the devil become our convictions when it comes to sticking it out in our marriages and holding to a biblical definition that God has described. Now, I know none of us can go back and undo what's been done this morning. So wherever God finds you, I want to encourage you today to think about, how do I go forward from here? So no matter the challenges we face, and they are many as Christian families, there are many within our marriages, as those who call themselves Christians, Christ followers, we need to have the highest regard for marriage as God does. This verse says it. It says, marriage is to be held in honor among all. And the marriage bed is to be undefiled, for fornicators and adulterers God will judge. I want to just begin. There's a handout in your bulletin if you'd like to follow and make some notes. But I just want to begin. I want to give you just three thoughts here that I have. toward having a high regard for marriage, and the first is that we need to honor it. Marriage is to be held in honor among all. Honored here, it has the idea of esteemed, of respected, of held in high regard, of valued, of honorable. This is the command to every child of God, is to think and have marriage in our minds in that way. We are to honor it. It is precious. It is sacred. It is put together by God. When God joins a couple, I believe he's brought two people together by a divine appointment, and we are to honor that. And we honor it by holding to God's definition of it. That's the first way I want to say we need to honor it. Now, you're aware of what happened June 26th, this last couple months. Supreme Court, 5-4 decision ruled that same-sex marriage is now the law of the land. A redefinition, a redefining of what the Scripture says, what God says is his definition of marriage. And so for those of us to hold to a biblical definition of marriage, and I hope you're one of them, between one man and one woman, the pressure to acquiesce, the pressure to compromise to this definition of what the Supreme Court says is greater than ever. And it's rate, it's on the headlines of whatever you read, it's in the media, in videos, it's pushed and pushed and pushed. But marriage in God's eyes will always be between one man and one woman. It will always be that. You and I need to stand right there in the Scriptures. You know, regardless of what our culture, what the mainstream media, what those around us say, it is between one man and one woman. And it didn't, by the way, God's definition of marriage didn't change June 26th. It didn't. It still is what it always has been. But okay, what the practical side of this is we're going to be labeled, right? We'll be labeled homophobic, intolerant, hateful. So let me say this: we don't hate those who are afraid. Are we afraid of those who hold to a different view? Think of that premise that's out there today. The political side of it: that if you hold to a different view of marriage than what our culture does, then you hate those who hold to a different view. That's ridiculous. But that's what's trumpeted. That's where it's at. And you and I will have those labels. There may be a day when speech, as I'm giving this morning, is not tolerated in this land by those who hold to this whole thought of tolerance. But we need to honor marriage by holding to God's definition of it. And for those who don't hold that, and those who may be in a different lifestyle or maybe have experienced this or in a same-sex marriage, we want them to know that God loves them and we love them, and we offer to them the freedom that they need, that their hearts so long for in Jesus Christ, and the forgiveness that he would extend to them. So we want to hold to God's definition of it. If we're going to honor marriage, let's hold to his definition of it. And secondly, I want to say, by highly regarding it, I'm going to ask you to turn to Ephesians, the 5th chapter. This is an amazing scripture. Turn back just a little bit to Ephesians 5. It's an amazing scripture here. I'm just going to read. I'm not going to comment on all of it, but in Ephesians 5, 22 to 33, marriage is mentioned here. And I want to pick it up in verse 25, 25 to 33. Ephesians 5, 25 to 33. I want to read that section through. There's a word there for husbands and wives, and then there's a word about the church and about the bride of Christ. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing. There'll be one day when the church is before Christ in that way. I can't wait for that day. But that she would be holy and blameless. Verse 28, so husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. No one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. And then he goes back to Genesis. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Now listen, this mystery is great, but I'm speaking with reference to Christ and the church. He's been practically putting out things about marriage here. And then he makes this analogy. He says it's like this. This marriage relationship, husband and wife, is like the relationship that we have to Christ as his church, as his body. Nevertheless, each individual among you is to love his own wife, even himself, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. We are to highly regard it. You know, we must because God does. Think of this analogy that we just looked at between Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. The apostle says, there is the relationship of the bride and church and the bridegroom, Jesus Christ, is like marriage. So there is this, as we live as Christians in this society, our marriages ought to be picturing the relationship that a believer has to the Lord. So we need to highly, highly regard it. He could have, I think about this, he could have, it seems to me, chosen some other analogy, but he says it's like marriage. Okay, so honor it by holding to God's definition of it. Holding that forth by highly regarding it. And by the way, I don't have time, but you could unpackage this thing and look at marriage in the Scripture right on through. God has so much to say about it. And lastly, I want to say we're going to honor it by staying in it. By staying in it. You know, on our wedding day, Becky and I, we gave our word to God. We made a promise. We made a covenant. And that covenant was before God, before man, until death do us part. I'm thankful for that covenant. You that are married did the same thing. Marriage, I will say, can be amazingly wonderful. Would you agree? And full of incredible joy, and it can be hard and difficult. Would you agree? I don't get so many amens on that one, but that's true. It can be. And sometimes all in the same hour. Sometimes all in the same hour. Here, I believe the church has not set an example as we should. We've bought, I believe, too many times into some of the lies that are out there, such as you shouldn't have to put up with that, or you shouldn't be treated like that, or you two are not compatible, or you deserve to be happy. And sometimes this counsel comes from those within the body of Christ. God sees marriage as a lifelong commitment, and we need to make sure we keep that commitment. If we haven't, we need to make sure that where we're at today, we keep that commitment. So stay with it. And then practically, it means that we encourage other couples to remain in it. To remain in it, to be forgiving, to be loving, to be respectful, to put up with one another. There's a real sense where none of us are compatible with others. And so we labor and we love and we defer. And I'm not, you know, I don't want you to think for a moment, I'm standing before you as someone who has it all together in this area. I am still a work in progress. But I am committed to my wife. I'm committed to this marriage. I remember one time sitting down with some of our children, and I wanted to impact them with the thoughts of marriage and how it is that we need to stay with it and how important the Lord is in marriage. And I asked them this question. I asked them this question. What do you think this family would be like? What do you think your mom and dad would be like? What do you think this would look like if your mom and dad did not know Christ? What do you think that would look like? And I had some thoughts. For one, I don't know that we would be together. I really don't know that we would. And it would shape our family and where it goes and all these things. So listen, as believers who don't have it all together, let's stand on this. We are going to honor marriage. We're going to hold to God's definition. We're going to highly regard it. We're going to speak of it rightly, and we're going to stay in it. That's our commitment. That's our commitment. So let's not forget what this commitment we made with God. And we need to defer, we need to forgive, and all those things in our marriages. So honor it. I want to say honor it. Family matters. It does. You might be here today and you say, well, I'm not even yet married. Well, I want to put this thought in your mind. Honor it. Stick with it. When you make that, then when you take those vows, take them seriously. And you're committed to be in there no matter what. I remember, and this is, someone asked Billy Graham's wife if she ever thought about divorce. And you know the story, right? She said, no, but I have thought about murder. You know, I like that reality because, you know, it's true. You put two sinners together, and certainly we hope to be glorifying God and growing in our sanctification, but there's still this rub, right? And so I want to encourage you to honor it, to stick with it, to regard it highly, to hold to God's definition of it. If we're going to do that, I think this next part is so important. Listen, it says, marriage is to be held in honor among all, and the marriage bed is to be undefiled. So I want to say here, guard it, okay? Honor it, guard it. It is sacred. And he's talking about sexual intimacy here. He says, and the marriage bed is to be undefiled. Sexual intimacy between husband and wife has been ordained by God, and his blessing is upon it. I think Hollywood, I think the mainstream our culture and the media and so forth has stolen some of that. But he has created us as sexual beings to enjoy the blessings of sex within the confines and the bounds of marriage. Okay? So it is there, and God's blessing is on it. You know, Hollywood has stolen it. You know, and their thoughts are you get outside of those bounds and you chase and you go and it's better over here, better over here, better over here. And God says, listen, I want you to stay within those bounds of marriage. That's where you are most fulfilled. That's where you are most protected. So it is also limited. It's to be undefiled. Undefiled here has the idea of that which has anything in it that defiles. It is unpolluted. It is unstained. It is unsoiled. God, again, has set those boundaries, and whenever he sets boundaries, he does that for our own good. It's to be unstained, unsoiled. He set those boundaries, and we find freedom, joy, and peace in that place. God's best is always found within the confines of what he calls us to. It's not restricted in the sense that, oh, this can't be good or fun. It's restricted so that we can enjoy what God has ordained. So I want to say there, just to hang on, to make sure you guard it. And I'm going to talk about this guarding it in some greater detail in this next section. But he says, by the way, this is God's idea. He says here, marriage is to be held in honor among all, and the marriage bed is to be undefiled. Listen, if you've thought or if you're in a relationship outside of those boundaries, you need to repent of that. Perhaps it's not a physical relationship. Maybe it's an emotional relationship. You need to repent of that. Call it what it is, okay? Let's own our sin, take it to the Lord, and get it right, and we can go in freedom. Finally, I want to say we are to sanctify it. You see what he says here? He says, for fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. Sanctify it from sexual sin. There's that blessing there within the marriage, within the bounds of marriage. That's where it needs to take place. God says, this is how I created you. I made you this way. I brought about marriage, and so there it is. So we're to protect it or to sanctify it from sexual sin. He mentions here fornicators and adulterers. A fornication is used of those who engage in sex with someone other than their spouse, someone who's unmarried. We see it today in cohabitation. Premarital sex is really what we're talking about here. So if you're here today, you're not married, I want to say to you, save yourself for your wedding night, for the glory of the Lord. I want to acknowledge something, that the world is saying nobody's doing that. But I got news for you. There are plenty of people doing that. There are couples today that are dating that said, I won't even give a kiss until my wedding day right there to that person who I'm, you know, that sounds so foreign, so beautiful. So I want to say to our young people, you may hear that everyone is engaging in these things, but listen, for the believer, this is God's best for you. It's to remain pure for your spouse. So there is, and if you haven't, again, I want to say to you, well, let's get this right with God. Okay? Let's call it what it is. Jesus went to the cross, and that sin was placed on him. Go to the Lord and get forgiveness and get it right. And then he talks about adultery here, too. And that's having sex with someone other than your spouse. It was an amazing thing that happened to, as I was keeping track of things, events in the world a month or so ago. There's a website called Ashley Madison. And it's for those who are looking to engage in an adulterous affair. So you would go to this website, they would provide you names and so forth. And for a fee, you can anonymously sign up. And no one would know, okay? This can be hidden from spouses and all others. But guess what happened to it? Some of you know. It was hacked. So you'd go online, sign up for this website. And by the way, here's the moral decline of our nation. Out of all the zip codes in the United States, three zip codes did not have someone who was signed up to that website. Bark River wasn't one of them. Wilson wasn't one of them. Escanaba was not one of them. Three zip codes in Alaska, and I think it's places that they don't have internet. Three zip codes. Can you imagine? I don't know how many million of people have signed up for this. You know what's sad about this? You probably have read. There were some Christians caught up in this. There were pastors caught up in this. And they were hacked, and emails were released for the whole world to see. The Lord says here, fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. God will judge. You have his word on it. There are multiple passages in Scripture that warn us that God will judge and punish any of his people who are immoral. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 10, no inheritance for those who are immoral. 1 Thessalonians 4, 3, this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality. This is God's will, that we abstain. So, fornication, adultery, God's going to judge that. We need to look at it and be right with God if we are involved in any of these things in any way. And we need to repent. So we're to sanctify it from sexual sin, from fornication, from adultery. And I want to touch on one that has just, I think, ravaged our nation. It's pornography. Pornography. I want to take some time to address this because its tentacles, I believe, have reached right into the body of Christ. I want to say this. Pornography is not just a man's thing. It's not just a man's problem. And I was not aware of this. However, talking to individuals and doing some research, one in three visitors to porn sites are women. Okay? So here's the thing. You know, the internet has provided us some great blessings. There's some wonderful things available to us there. But if you have a tablet, a smartphone, a computer, instantly, supposedly unknown by many, it's almost like it's done in secret. An individual, in a moment in time, can access pictures, video, whatever, of things that ought not to be seen. Here's something else that's very sobering. 10 to 12-year-olds are getting caught up in it, and that's where it begins. So, Family Safe Media gives the following insight. Here it is. The pornography industry is larger than the revenues of the top technology companies combined. Microsoft, Google, Amazon, eBay, Yahoo, Apple, Netflix, and Earthlink. It's greater than all that. U.S. porn revenue exceeds the combined revenues of ABC, CBS, NBC. America has 89% of all web pages of any country on the internet. 89%. We are only beginning to see, I believe, what this is doing to our nation. But its effect in the church. You know, this isn't a sin that just traps someone who is far from God or doesn't know God. No, this can be someone who really loves the Lord, but is imprisoned by it. Now, how can we possibly battle this? And we need to. Parents, we need to battle this. Men, women, we need to battle this. First of all, I want to say if we're involved in any way, we need, again, to see it for what it is. It is a sinful thing. It's not helpful. It'll crush your walk with Christ. You cannot be the man or the woman God has designed you to be and be involved in this. You can't do it. What Jesus say about looking with lust upon a woman? You've already committed adultery in your heart. But it's out there. And so for our children, our grandchildren, we need to be aware of this. There's freedom in Christ to repent and move on, but how do you keep yourself there? Well, I think you need to be accountable to someone. Pastor Wes and I want to be an example to this flock. My computer, everywhere I go, that is recorded, and someone sees where I have been. The same is true of his. Same is true of his phone. I don't have a phone that can access the internet. If I did, I'd have to have that. But I want to say to you, if you're struggling with this, you need to have accountability. You need to have accountability. So there are a couple things you can do. One is, it's called Covenant Eyes. You can install this program on your computer. I think the fee is like $10 a month. And you'll get a partner, someone who you can trust who will call you out. Someone who's going to, okay, they're going to get a report every month. Here's the websites that don't look right, or here's a website that's way off base. You're going to have to answer to them. You know, it is that for some, I think, that just having God and knowing I'm before Him, that's enough. But other times, God uses other individuals to help out someone. Here's one of those things. So you could put something on it like that, like Covenant Eyes. There's also another program, Accountable. The word accountable, and then the number two, and then the word you. Accountable to you. Accountable to you. That's another web-based help that can help in this area. So if you have a teenager who has a computer, a smartphone, a tablet, and you have no accountability to that, I want to tell you that is not a good thing. Because they're probably viewing some things that they ought not to be seeing, and it's not helpful to them. So parents, you may have to be the bad guys for a bit. How many of you like to do that? Not me really, but that may have to be. And for men, I want to say, if you have access, who are you accountable to? I think you need to be accountable. And I wouldn't go through life without it. So here are some things I think that can be helpful, but we've got to be proactive. But this has touched the church. I know of a pastor who's, I believe, with the Lord now. He served in a solid Bible church, and he was a youth pastor. He moved and went to another church and became the senior pastor. He got so caught up in this, and it was so devastating to him. It led him, I believe, to an affair. And that led him to the point where he was so ashamed, he took his life, younger man than I, took his life. It's in the last couple of years. This is powerful stuff, and it'll ruin lives. It's not helpful to marriages. It hurts people. It's not good for those in the industry. That's somebody's daughter. That's somebody's son. But we can't sit back and say, you know, oh, well, that's somebody else's problem. It's in the church. And churches are struggling with it. So we've got to be accountable. And we've got to be proactive. So sanctify it from sexual sin. When we think about honoring marriage, if we're involved in pornography, we're not honoring marriage. We're not sanctifying marriage. We're not guarding marriage. We need to guard our heart. If I had time, I would take you to Proverbs, the 5th chapter. You can read that later. There's this plea toward wisdom to stay away from the adulterous woman, to stay away from that, to be satisfied within one's own marriage. But I want to lastly say, sanctify it by toward a growing holiness. God's formula for change in one's life is to replace sinful action with something that is holy and good. Put off the old, put on the new. We as believers need to be constantly and consistently guarding our hearts and minds. This is our culture, folks. This is where God has planted us. And so we want to be active and proactive. We actually want to say, you know what? We're going to grow in this culture. All its filth, all the pulls of the flesh, we're going to grow in it. We're going to be looking to the Lord. We're going to take those things and set them aside that need to, and we're going to pursue Christ. And I believe we can. In our marriages, there ought to be a growing holiness. If we're single, there ought to be a growing holiness that is evident to us and to those around us. Are you growing in Christ? Are you? I want to ask that question. And if not, why not? You can't stay in one place. The call of the New Testament is to grow, to grow, to grow. That, I believe, is a place of safety and sanctification. That, I believe, is a place where God can really bless. I'll tell you, I want to be all I can be for Christ. And I know one thing, I can't dabble in sin and do that. Okay, you say, well, you're a pastor. Okay, so let's pretend I'm not a pastor today. I'm a husband. I have children. I have grandchildren. If I want to be the man God's called me to be, I can't dabble in this stuff. I can't be there and say, oh, well, no one will know, and I can just kind of get by with it. God knows. And the thing is, I'm impacted, so how I live impacts others, and if I'm not who I need to be, then my family, my community, and finally this nation and the world isn't what it ought to be either. I have an impact on them. So if we're going to impact as we should, folks, we need to get this right. Let's make sure that we are holding God where he needs to be, and this relationship, this marriage where it needs to be. How do you view marriage? Let me ask you that. How do you view it? Do you see it as something as precious to God? That he has created, that he has put together, and that society is desperate for. As we go forward in this society, in this world, the need is going to be greater and greater and greater for you to live within that marriage as God would have you to live. And if you kind of set that aside, it will impact big time. So do you need to repent today? I would ask that question of you. And if so, will you go that way? Will you be accountable? Will you make sure that the opportunities you have to access this kind of stuff that's destructive is not something that's not known, and that you would be accountable to someone? Would you do that? Will you do that for your children? Will you do that for those that God has put into your trust? Because I think you need to. You need to help them as well. Let me say this. You know, if you're here today and you've yet to trust Christ as your Savior, God's just waiting for you. His arms are wide open. And he wants to embrace you. He wants you to come to faith in his Son. He wants to forgive you. He wants to give you life. That's only through faith in his Son. If you're there today and you're a rebel in your heart, God would say to you, I love you. I want you to seek my forgiveness, and I will fully grant it to you. Loving Father, we thank you for this time we've been able to look into your word. And I pray, Father, that you would have ministered it to some and to all, really, in a way that's helpful to them. You know what's going on in this nation. You know how marriage has been left in tatters, sometimes by your people. And we need to get back to honoring it. We need to get back to highly esteeming it. That it is beautiful, that it is good, that it is worth fighting for, to maintain, to grow. And Father, you know the plague that is on this land with viewing a pornography, and how devastating, discouraging, and depressing that can become to so many people. And I pray that you, Father, will convict hearts today. If there are those before you right now who are involved in that, that you will convict them. And that they will seek accountability. They will seek your forgiveness and go on in freedom. As long as something's hidden, the devil has his way. He wants to throw that out there. He wants to keep that kind of undercover so it appears that no one, including yourself, knows. Father, we want to be your people for your glory. Help us in our marriages. Father, we just lift them before you. We know what the world says. We also know what you say. You've sanctified this thing. It's beautiful in your sight. You've compared it to the relationship that we have with Jesus. That's amazing. Help us to live as we ought to live in them. Help us to be long-suffering, to be forgiving, to stick with it no matter what. Bless your people now, Father. Give us a great afternoon as we go as well and make an impact, hopefully, in a community with some light for those who need it. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.